Oh, such a good question.
Well, when you come up with these questions, that's another great branding question.
That's a big question.
That's a very interesting question because it really makes you think about what you just did.
Welcome to the Your Living Brand Live Show. This show is all about how you communicate your value, how you build influence through trust, and recognizing who your audience is and who they are not. Through our weekly conversations with our guests, we will explore different ways to enable you to demonstrate your uniqueness while we ask them, what's your story? And now, welcome our host, Ben Baker.
And welcome back to another episode of the Your Living Brand Live Show. This is Ben Baker coming to you. Thank you all for tuning in another week. You guys are just awesome. We're on Spotify, we're on iHeart, we're on iTunes. Anywhere that you listen, you will find the Your Living Brand Live Show. Subscribe to the show. Send me a note at ben@yourbrandmarketing.com. Tell me what you like. Tell me what you don't like. Tell me if there's a guest you really want to hear, because I always love interviewing interesting people. And if there's somebody that you've heard that you think would be perfect for the show, just email me at ben@yourbrandmarketing.com and we'll get them on the show because you know what? The conversations are what it's all about. So this week, we're going to talk about a five-letter word. Not a four-letter word, a five-letter word. That word is sales. You know, it's just we need to talk about sales because, you know, we talk about leadership, we talk about engagement, we talk about branding. It's all about how do we make businesses better. And the number one thing that always makes any business better is sales. Because if we're not selling, we're in trouble. So welcome to the show, Larry Levine. Larry's got a book called Selling from the Heart. He's got a podcast by the same name. Larry, welcome and let's talk selling.
So awesome to be on your podcast. And what I really like is the whole mantra around what's your story, because in sales, it's all about stories. And I'll further peel this one back, because it's all this is the stories in our head are the stories that we tell.
Absolutely.
And if there's anything that salespeople know is we love conjuring up stories in our head.
And some of them are true and some of them not so much, but you know what? We have a good time telling the stories anyway. Hey, you and I both come from this. I mean, I'm an old school sales guy. I've been doing sales. You know, I mean, when you own your own company, you're always in sales. But, you know, I come from a sales background of over 30 years and I get it. You know, you get the trials, the tribulations, the challenges, and the ecstasy of being in the sales. And the sales is a rare breed. You know, the people that are out there doing your sales for you are rare air. The people that are really good at it, the people that enjoy doing it, the people that are passionate about it are just a rare breed, because they're the people that love waking up in the morning and hear people say no. Because if they don't, they're in real trouble.
Yeah, but here's the interesting thing is I know we're going to bring a lot of sales to this, but in my world, everybody's in sales.
True.
Everybody is in sales, whether they have the title sales, you can fill in the blank, or any, it doesn't really matter. It's just, I think the phobias around sales or the skepticism around sales or the world of lack of trust around sales all conjures up from bad sales practices. So nobody wants to say I'm a salesperson, right?
Yeah.
But everybody is. The world goes round via sales.
Well, I mean, how did you get the first girl to like you? How did you get the first girl to love you or the first boy to like you or love you? You know,
yeah.
You know, that's all sales. You know, it's all about know, like, and trust. And if people don't know, like, and trust us, we can't influence them. And that's what sales is all about. It's about being able to get people to trust you enough to listen to you, to hear what you have to say, to, you know, buy into whatever you're talking about, it, whether you're selling an item or a service or an idea, it's all sales. And you're right. We're all in the sales market, no matter what we do.
Yeah. And here's what I want people to think about. And this goes back to, you know, because in the era that we both grew up in, Ben, it's not like it is today. So, you know, I say that because I grew up in the pre-internet world, pre-computer world. And I'm not saying this because, hey, well, just because that's the way it was, this is the way it is. But it's just, that's what we had. But I want to reference something because I think it plays a huge part in what brought up my foundational structure and so forth. Is one of the very first books I read when I got into sales, Ben, was How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie.
I love it.
It's probably the best book that I read at that time, still relevant today. So that book was written in what, 1937?
Something like that. Definitely in the 30s. I don't know exactly
I'm pretty sure it was 37, but if Dale Carnegie was alive and well today, he would be laughing. He'd be sitting in sales room saying, I told you so, right? Because the core foundation of that book had a really important role in developing me as a salesperson. And that was building relationships and changing the way people think. It's the core foundation that I got out of that book. So if we go back to when we probably first started in sales, the way that we built relationships and changed the way people think was face-to-face or the phone, and that was it.
Exactly.
That was it. Our whole world revolved around those two things. Well, if I wanted to research Ben and I wanted to research the company that Ben worked for, then I had to go to the library and do research. Well, today, all of that's available on the internet.
On your phone, in your phone, in your car, as you're sitting in the parking lot before your meeting.
Yeah. But here's what I want to stress is nothing's really changed.
No.
The tools have changed, but the core principles and the foundation around sales hasn't changed. To me, it's building relationships and changing the way people think. Now, you can do that in the banking world. You can do that in the marketing world. You can do that in B2C. You can do that in grocery stores as a clerk. It doesn't matter. If we look at that core premise about building relationships and changing the way people think, take the sales out of it.
Well, to me, it's, you know, it comes down to brand, you know, because brand is how people perceive you when you're not in the room. It's how do people think about you? And you're right. It doesn't really matter whether it's a customer or somebody has the desk next to you in the office, or you know, whether it's a spouse. It's how do people perceive you? Do they know, like, and trust you? Do they want to interact with you? Do they want to engage with you? You know, do they find you interesting? Do they find you authentic? If the answer to those things is no, then there's no basis for going forward.
Yeah, you know, you bring up something that's really interesting, because I always love asking a room full of salespeople and their leaders, how are you perceived in the marketplace today? It's one of my favorite questions I like asking people, just to get them to start putting their thinking caps on, Ben. And it's interesting, some of the things that you hear around how are they perceived in the market. Right. And we'll just, you know, we whiteboard it out and just start jotting words down. Well, then my next question that I layer on top of that is, how would you like to be perceived in the market?
Completely different question.
Completely different, because you brought up it a little bit ago and you brought it up again, is how do you get people to know, like, and trust you? Right. I don't think that will ever go away. But in the world that we live in today, which was vastly different than when I grew up and when you grew up, Ben, is I'm still a big believer is people have to know you, like you, and trust you. But how do you become that person if they haven't met you yet?
Right.
And that's what I want the profession of sales to think about. Is how does somebody get to know Ben, like Ben, and trust Ben if they've never met Ben? Well, it's how you position yourself, and it's how well you walk, talk, and act online.
And do you walk, talk, and act online the same way that you do individually? You know, you have one personality. You are you no matter where you are. And if you put up this persona online, you know, and then just say, this is who I think I am, and this is how I think people want me to be, and people buy into that persona, and then you walk into their office and you're something completely different, you've just lost any trust that you would have had.
Well, yeah. And you bring up a really great point, because I'm not here to be the social police and tell people, hey, this is how you have to choose to use social. We can all use it however we want. And I think you probably agree with me, Ben.
Absolutely.
Some use it better than others, and so forth. But I always say this, you get out of this what you put into it.
True.
And I learned a long time ago, I was very fortunate, probably in the mid 2000s, I hired a business coach and a mentor. In fact, as we're recording this podcast, I was just chatting with this person a couple hours ago. And this person had a tremendous impact in my life in the mid 2000s, because he helped me understand the importance of marrying your offline persona with your online persona. And I'm saying this because I question a lot of how people position themselves online. I don't do it out in public. I mentally question it. And I just say, you know what? I can guarantee you this. If I met that person face to face, I can almost flat guarantee that's not who they are. Because there's a lot of what I call social chest puffing going on social. People are positioning themselves as fakes and facades. I write about it as empty suits in the last chapter of my book. But again, it's not to disrespect people, it's to get them to think. And it's to get them to think as if I'm going to build a relationship with Ben or whoever that person is, then I have one shot in my world to make a great first impression. And if I build up that based on a lie or a facade, I'm going to get exposed sooner or later. And Ben's going to go, that's not what it was cracked up to be. And then they move on.
Exactly.
Is that fair to say?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm a big believer of you are who you are, warts and all. Yeah, we all have warts. We all have things that we do well. We all have things that we don't do well. We all have things that we're proud of. We all have things that we sit there and say, you know what? I'm not doing that one again. But it's what we learn from these things. Your original conversation about the stories that we tell. The stories that we tell have to tell the good, the bad, and the ugly. I have to tell about, you know what? We had this challenge and this is how we worked through it. And that builds far more trust and far more relationship than I went online, I made $1 million, the end. Nobody cares about the end result if they don't understand how you got there. They want to see what is the thought process behind. What did it take you to get there? What were the challenges that brought you to that position? Who are you really as a person? And how can you help me through the tough times, never mind just the good times?
Yeah. And a lot of people, to your point, Ben, a lot of people just don't want to go there.
Yeah.
I learned a long time ago, if you want to get to know the real Larry Levine, all you got to do is ask. I don't hold anything back. I open up, whether that be the social window online or face to face, I will tell you exactly what's going on inside me and inside my heart, because that's who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm comfortable in my own skin. I've accepted vulnerability a long time ago, and I love eating critique, and I love having these types of conversations because I love the art of building relationships. And if I'm going to start a conversation with anybody, I don't care if it's online, face-to-face, the phone, Skype, any type of, you know, messaging platforms that are out there, you get the real me. I'm not holding anything back.
And that's important. I mean, the big thing I tell people is if you don't want to know the answer, don't ask the question.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. It's just like my attitude is if you ask me a direct question, I'll give you a direct answer. And sometimes when I'm consulting, you know, when I'm doing workshops or what like that, some people don't like the answer that I give, but it's like, you know, if you're willing to ask me the question, you deserve a direct answer. If you'll ask me a direct question, you deserve a direct answer. And you may not like where that is going, but you've asked the question. You know, you deserve to be told the truth. You know, and that truth may be a little uncomfortable. Maybe we have to work through it. Maybe there's a conversation that will come out of that truth. And that's okay. But for me to sit there and gloss over it really does both of us a disservice.
Yeah, because I want to take this back to what we said. We were talking about perception just a little bit ago.
Yeah.
And I remember going back in my younger days as a salesperson, I would always ask, I was hypercritical of perception because I knew the negative stigma that's associated with salespeople. And it's no different now than it was 25, 30 years ago. It's all the same. And so I would always ask people, and I had no problem asking. And where I'm going with this is what I urge the whole sales profession to really grasp onto, is your customers and your future customers and those people you engage with in your inner circle are a wealth of help. All you got to do is ask. So I was always cognizant of, right? If I'll just use your name, Ben, as an example, I'd always
say,
hey, you know, hey, Ben, I'm just curious, you know, as we get to know each other and I appreciate the time that we're spending together. Hey, I'm just curious, right? What do you think of salespeople, right? What's the good, the bad, and the ugly? And I would make mental notes of this all the time. And I started to form my persona. I started to form opinions and I started to package all this up. And I said, you know what? I can ask Ben and I can ask 10 other people and I can ask my current customers. what they like and don't like about salespeople. And all I'm going to do is package it together and do the complete opposite.
But not only that, you're also getting insight into their hopes, wants, fears. What are the things, how have they been burned in the past? And how to keep an eye open to and how to build better trust with that particular person, because everybody is a culmination of the experiences that they've had up to that point in time. You know, you and I are a culmination of the years that we've, you know, met with other people, that we've listened to other things, that we've done other things, etc. So when we get to this point in time, when we're asking each other questions, it's based on where we've been and how we've done it. And if I can understand you, if I can ask you the questions about what are the challenges you've had with salespeople in the past? Well, people have broken promises. Okay, that's a key button for that person. That person wants to be told, you know, the good, the bad, and the other. They want to know what's going on. They want to be communicated with effectively. Okay, good. Mental note, don't lie to this person, ever.
Yeah, but it goes back to this whole knowing your story and things like that, because what I don't want to see happen is that salesperson just asking those questions just because, and they don't internalize it.
Oh, it's got to be internalized.
It has to be internalized, because the rampant skepticism and the lack of trust, and everyone thinks salespeople are full of BS, and rightfully so, because the sales world has done that to themselves. They've crapped upon their customers so much that they've dug the hole that they're in. Doesn't mean that it's going to be like that forever. But where I'm going with this is you got to truly be willing to ask the good, the bad, and the ugly, and accept it, internalize it, and do something about it in a proactive manner. But it goes back to, if I'm going to ask Ben what's he like and don't like about salespeople, how would you like to be treated? What would wow you? And Ben starts telling me all this stuff, then it's up to me to share my story in a way that goes, you know what, Ben? Hey, I appreciate what you just said, right? I know what you're going through. If at some point we decide to engage in a business relationship, let me share with you what I bring to the business table that's going to remove what you just said. And all I'm saying with that is we got to humanize what we do as the sales profession. Is we just become coin operated question and response people with no real thought behind it. I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to listen long enough to spew another question, listen long enough to spew some more stuff, as opposed to I'm going to listen with heartfelt intent to what Ben's saying so I can internalize it, so I can digest it, so I can engage in a better conversation with Ben. That's just not happening enough.
And that's the trick. And I want to get into this in a lot more detail. I remember when I first started off and I worked for Xerox years and years ago, it was all about the close. It was all about how do you close people? Because the problem is when I was selling $50,000, $75,000, $100,000 photocopiers, you had one shot. It was almost like being a used car salesman. You know, you came in, you sold them, and you got out, and your tech team took care of it the rest of your life. Because in 5 years, when they went to buy another piece of equipment, you were probably in a different territory and you never had sales. So you really weren't building relationships. So it was close, 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 trial, close, trial, close, trial, close. And it got to the point where I knew every close and every trial close under the sun. And I hear that time and time again today. And it's funny, 30 years later, it's so off-putting because they're not listening. They're just trying to close. And I want to get into training, and I want to get into, you know, what your perception is on, you know, onboarding, developing, and training new salespeople to make them better. Because I don't think that salespeople are given the resources and the training and the support that they need to really do their job well. And I want to hear your thoughts on that.
I agree. But first of all, I got to ping off of something, because I spent 28 years in the channel that you started in.
Uh-huh.
So I spent my whole entire career in the office technology channel. Yes, I sold copiers my whole entire career.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. The Your Brand Marketing.live podcast is sponsored by How to Retain Employees Through Leadership online course. Go to courses.yourbrandmarketing.com. That's courses.yourbrandmarketing.com and put in Your Living Brand 50 for a $50 coupon. Thanks a lot. Welcome back to the Your Living Brand.live show. All right, so you were at it a lot longer at it than I was.
When I heard you say that you worked for Xerox, I had a big, huge freaking smile right now, is because that's the only sales channel that I grew up in. I spent 28 and a half years all in Los Angeles marketplace selling copiers. Every sales position imaginable, and I was partners in a copier dealership all in the LA marketplace. And what I saw is I was on, this is going to answer your question.
Sure. We'll get to it the long way. I like it.
Yeah, no, but it's good is I was on more dysfunctional sales teams with more dysfunctional managers than I was functional managers and functional sales teams. I saw more than my share of male and female salespeople coming and going out of sales teams all the time. If I really peel this back and peel it back and peel it back, it goes to, and I write about it in my book. Salespeople and sales teams are consistently inconsistent. And what I mean by that is they're inconsistent with everything. They're consistently inconsistent with prospecting, with coaching, with training, with onboarding, with nurturing their sales reps, with training their sales reps. So you can't bring a salesperson onto a sales team, onboard them, give them a couple days worth of training or send them somewhere, and then cut them loose. And unfortunately, that's what's happening. There's way too many managers and not enough coaches. And I say this, and I want to throw professional sports into this because I think it'll drive the point across. Let's look at, I'm a big baseball junkie, you can tell.
Oh, yeah. You look behind, Larry, it says there's Dodgers stuff everywhere.
I'm a baseball junkie, but I'm also, I'm a diehard sports junkie. But I wrote a blog about this a couple years ago. And it was to the fact of, it was the start of the NFL football season a couple years ago. And I wrote a blog and I did some research and I happened to be a big Los Angeles Rams fan. And I looked on their coaching staff and I found out there was 27 coaches on the Los Angeles Rams football team.
Wow.
Now, let's equate that to a sales team. And I bring this up because every coach on a football team serves a purpose.
Absolutely.
Right? There's not 27 managers on a football team. There's 27 coaches. Now, how many coaches are there on a sales team that's practicing every day with their salespeople, that's holding them accountable on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, that's video training with their salespeople, that's watching game film, that's role-playing and all that? It's not happening. I'm going to plug salespeople for a minute. It's not all your fault. You're products of your environment. And if you're not getting the coaching and nurturing that you're getting from your sales team now, or your manager, or your leader, then I would urge you to go find someplace that you can. But sales leaders, coaches, managers can do so much better. Starts inside of each one of them. You want your salespeople to become better because they'll sell more. You want your salespeople to become better because they'll take better care of your customers. So it's a never-ending battle, Ben. As I always say, it starts at the top. Is what are the people at the top doing to coaching, nurturing, mid-level management, and what's mid-level management doing to coach, nurture, and grow salespeople? But we can't just bring salespeople on. We can't bring functional salespeople on who are so excited to come to your team that sooner or later they find out this is dysfunctional and they move on.
Well, it's true because the problem is, most people, the onboarding process for salespeople, I've seen this over and over again.
Horrible.
Is 2 days of speeds and feeds. Here's the 2 days of product knowledge. Read the brochure. Okay, here's your business cards. Here's your territory. And here's your what your commission is. And by the way, this is what I want for you in quota over the first 6 months. That's their training. You know, there's no understanding who are the people in the company, you know, how is the product actually made? What, you know, what makes us different? What makes us valuable? Who are our customers? Why do they care about us? There's a million different things that need to happen before you put a salesperson out on the road and talking to your customers, because they need to understand you before they can understand them. and they can understand how they can help them.
You're so spot on, because, you know, we could peel this back and peel this back and peel this back. But what I want companies to really think about is the turnover that's happening in your sales department. Think about the direct reflection that has to your customers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, here's the quota that I use, is that every employee that you lose costs you $100,000 to replace. And I will guarantee you, for salespeople, it could be 2 to 3 times that amount. Because if you have a sales rep that you've treated poorly, that you haven't taken care of, that you haven't coached, you haven't mentored, you haven't, you know, been fair to, they're not only going to walk out the door, but they've already probably spoken ill about you to, you know, to customers, and they've probably taken some with them. So it could be hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars walking out the door, because you're not taking care of your salespeople properly.
Yeah, you know, I keep things really simple. I throw out a really unique, heartfelt message. I do it because I care. I care about the sales profession and seeing the sales profession succeed. And I'll throw a direct message out to all the sales leaders who are listening to your podcast. And I'd like to share with them this, is if you develop as a leader, as a coach, if you develop sincerity, you bring substance, you bring heart, you bring caring, you have your salespeople's best interests at heart, you do all this and you develop that, and you develop that synergy inside your team, in turn, you will develop salespeople that sell with the heart, with sincerity, with substance, and take care of your customers to the utmost of their best ability. But if you fail to do that simple things with your salespeople, it's safe to say they're taking care of your customers the exact same way you're treating your salespeople.
No, and I agree. And to build on that, to just put, you know, another layer on top of that, is that you need to be able to train your salespeople so they understand the overall goals of the company, not just the sales goals, not just the quota, but what's the culture of the company that goes along with it? What is the raison d'etre? What is the reason for being of the company? And if all the different departments are not aligned, it doesn't matter what the sales reps do. But if they bring it in and they believe all this, and then the rest of the company is out there and working against them, you're going to have utter frustration as well. So your sales leaders need to be lockstep and understand what are the motivations of the other departments, so they can bring all that information to their sales reps and say, look, these are the things we need to keep in mind when we're out there selling. We are 6 months in backlog right now. We need to keep that in mind when we're out there selling, you know, and the little things that go along with that to help them win. You got to help your salespeople win.
Yeah, it's interesting. And that's why I don't direct all these messages to salespeople. I mean, the problem's way, way, way bigger than that. But I would say, you know, in response to what you just said, you know, in generalities about a company, is I just want companies to go back and do a couple things. Go back to your big fancy corporate websites that you've all have poured a ton of money in. And I want you to look at your mission and vision statements that you have up on your website. And as leaders, I want you to recite it, look in the mirror, and saying, are we upholding this to our customers? And are we transferring this to our salespeople and everybody else who works inside of our company? Yeah. And if the answer is, I'm not sure, or if there's silent pauses, then y'all have some work to do.
It's funny, because my thing is, when I'm doing consulting or workshops or whatever with companies, I say, let's take the mission and vision statement and throw them in the garbage, because nobody remembers them. Nobody can recite them. Nobody believes in them. What we need to do is we need to create a brand story that tells you where you were, where you are, who you're valuable to, why you're valuable to them, what our mission is, and where we're going. And if you can create that, and that's something that everybody can recite and believe in and act according to, that will spread through the organization. And that's something that salespeople can grab onto and tell that story effectively. And it builds consensus and, you know, unity throughout an organization.
I mean, that's beautiful, but I'll take that one step farther if I can.
Sure.
Is I would urge every salesperson that's out there to come up with your own story, your own vision.
Agreed.
And be able to recite that, because I'm a big believer. Yes, you must be able to understand and comprehend and tell your brand story, your company story. You have to, right?
Mm-hmm.
and share their vision and all that. But if we take that one step below, every salesperson must create their vision. They must have their mission. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting that, and this is what I challenge the sales world, because I love working with salespeople on this. I'll always start conversations with sales leaders. And I've been asked, right, Ben, just like you know, you're growing your business. I got to grow mine. I'm out prospecting. I'm out doing all these things as well. But when I'm talking to a sales leader and they ask me, how can I help you? Right. How can you help me? I would say, you know, I'll get to that, but can I just quickly share with you my vision? And then I'll just go on, you know, I see a sales world where authenticity, sincerity, and substance is brought to the business table. That's my mission. That's what I'd like to bring to your organization. And it changes the course of conversations, Ben. And I urge salespeople, define who you are, understand your story, understand your vision, create your mission, because sales professionals are leaders. They just don't know it. It's all internal to them. Every sales professional is a leader. They got to be willing to lead themselves and change the game.
Oh, absolutely. Because I mean, it brings back all the way back to the know, like, and trust. You're right. You work for a company. You support a brand, whether that company is yours, whether it's somebody else's, whatever. But sales is done person to person, human to human. And whether people know, like, and trust Coca-Cola is one thing. Whether they know, like, and trust their sales rep, who is the person that they're dealing with day in and day out, and they know that particular person, when they phone them up and say, we've got an issue, that person's going to jump to the pump and they're going to help and take care of them, is something completely different.
Yeah.
And that's where the relationships get built. Relationships get built person to person, human to human, one at a time. And that's where the magic sales are. And the one that I want to talk about is going on is that you talked about prospecting. Let's get into prospecting. And it comes down, and I love your whole thing about the, you know, let me tell you about your vision. But I see a lot of salespeople today that are totally and absolutely reliant on a marketing department doing their job for them to do their job. He says, well, until I get leads, I can't do anything. Until marketing gives me my leads, I can't do anything. You know, I want to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah. I'm going to be polite when I say this, but hey, listen, sales world, when you decided you wanted to get into sales, there's one non-negotiable thing that I have that I will tell you is when you get into sales, prospecting is non-negotiable. It's not, I'll get around to it, I'll wait and so forth, because the world that I grew up in, Ben, I never had a marketing department.
No.
Zero. I had not one lick of marketing done. No, there was no marketing department. So where I'm going with this is I'm a firm believer that sales professionals must learn how to become their own best marketers. And they do that. I had to learn that, right? I put food on my table. I had to. I couldn't wait for somebody to put food on my table. I'd freaking starve. So I learned how to become proactive with everything. But back when I all started in the business, when you started in the business, there wasn't SDRs and BDRs and ADRs and whatever acronym you want to use, right?
Alphabet soup.
Right? There wasn't any.
No.
We had to learn how to prospect. And it's no different today, right? And there's going to be some people that are going to hate me for saying this, but SDRs and BDRs and companies have made salespeople lazy because they go, they got to be out in front of customers. They got to be doing all this stuff. Well, that's great, but they also have to learn to prospect and they got to become better at prospecting. But all we've done is we've created a sales world full of order takers, babysitters, and spoiled rotten salespeople. And full disclosure, I'm a sales nerd. Right?
Absolutely.
I'm a complete sales freaking nerd, but let's just call it what it is.
That's just it. But you get too many sales reps out there today that are waiting for somebody to do something for them. And they're always sitting there, they're complaining and says, well, the leads that I get from marketing are garbage, or, you know, they don't understand it. Well, when was the last time you sat in a marketing meeting and said, look, guys, this is what we need? You know, these are the type, these are who our clients really are. I don't care what the metrics say. I don't care what the thing is. These are the people that are actually spending money with us. And these are the issues that they're actually having, you know, problems with. And getting sales and marketing on the same page to be able to have that conversation so they can support each other. There seems to be this enormous wall that goes up between sales and marketing, and you know, they don't talk to each other. They don't listen to each other. They point fingers at each other. They should be part of the same team because their job is to take care of the customer together.
And I agree. And I wish I lived in that world where I could answer that question a little bit better. I just didn't grow up in a world where I had a marketing department. I had to survive on myself. Yeah. But what I will say today moving forward is I think in the world that we live in today, salespeople need to learn how to become better marketers, and marketers need to learn how to become better at sales.
Yeah.
And it's simple as that. And they got to quit pointing fingers and so forth. But to marketing's credit, they might be driving great leads and they might be driving great awareness and all that. Have you ever thought that maybe your conversations as salespeople stink, right?
Gotta go both ways.
It has to go both ways. And we just can't, right? We just can't point fingers. And it, you know, just be like out of the world I came from where, you know, copiers then became connected networks and everyone would point fingers. Well, it's not printing. Well, it's the network's fault, right? And then the IT company saying, no, it's the copier company's fault. Well, just fix the freaking problem. All learn how to work together. It's no different than it is today.
That's the essence of the thing. Customers just want problems solved. Their attitude is, we're giving you money to fix a problem that we can't fix internally. We do not either have the knowledge, the expertise, the time, or whatever to be able to deal with this problem. We're not looking for you guys to point fingers at each other. We're not looking for you to blame each other. We're paying you to solve a problem that we have that we need taken care of. And if you can't do it as a sales and marketing team and ops team, whatever, putting the whole thing together to fix the problem of the customer, somebody is going to come and eat your lunch.
Yeah, spot on, because I always share this, is they're your customer until somebody else comes along and provides a better experience.
Yeah.
As simple as that. Now, the world that I came out of, which is the world you started in, I always say leaders, you know, I'm not here to papooey on anything, rain on your parade and drop, you know, bad ill will on you. But I just want you to think about this. Are you temporarily babysitting your customers? And they go, what do you mean? I said, if you're doing nothing as a sales organization and as a company to grow, nurture, facilitate, and enhance the relationship and the experience you're providing to your customers, then you're temporarily babysitting them until somebody else comes and wows them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the organization I used to work for, I mean, we're talking 12, 15 years ago, used to have a client that was 60% of their business.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is the worst thing in the world you can do for any organization, is to have one client that's worth that kind of money. Well, a company 50 times bigger than they were walked into their client and said, look, the company that you're dealing with has 30 employees. They handle a $3.5 million worth of your business. We can handle you worldwide. If 30 people in our company die tomorrow, you wouldn't even know about it.
Yeah.
You're a $1 billion company. We're a $1 billion company. We can support you worldwide. And within a matter of 6 months, that business was gone.
Yeah.
It was absolutely gone because they were able to offer something we couldn't even dream of. And because the guy whose account it was, who actually was the owner of the company, assumed that he was going to die taking care of this company, that he owned this, you know, this relationship for life, it all probably would have bankrupted him. You know, in a lot of cases, it would have just bankrupted him.
I'm sitting here listening to what you're saying. This is the only thing that pops into my head is, and this is what I want people to think about. The relationships that companies think they have with their customers is not what the customers think the relationship is with the company.
Agreed.
Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
And that's what's interesting about this whole thing is everyone will say, now the world that I grew up in, and still when I'm talking to salespeople, I go, you know what? My customers love me. I own that customer, right? All the cliches you hear that are out there. And so my response is great. You know what? I'm not here to doubt it, right? I'm sure they do love you. But would you mind if I called them up on the phone right now and just asked them how great that relationship is? You should see the expressions on people's faces, Ben.
Terrified.
They're terrified. And I write about it in Selling from the Heart, the misalignment that happens inside organizations. Not only inside the organizations is misalignment, but the misalignment with how they're taking care of their customers. Look at your top 10 customers. And I want to be able to look sales leaders in the eyes and go to your top 10 customers and say, do you know, like, and trust them? Do they know, like, and trust you? Do they respect you? Have you humanized that relationship? And furthermore, if you're not loving on your clients, and I'm not saying loving on your clients like in holy matrimony, maybe in holy business matrimony.
Yeah.
But if you're not loving on your clients, somebody else will.
Absolutely.
And it's up to you to just build those rock freaking solid relationships with your customers. And that's my challenge to the sales world.
My challenge to my customers is stop being a commodity and start being a brand worth loving.
Yeah.
You know, it's not whether you perceive yourself as a commodity or not. It's do your customers perceive you as a commodity?
Yeah.
If they can sit there and say, okay, somebody's 3 cents a thousand cheaper, all right, I'll give them a shot, then you have no relationship with your client.
So true. And it's happening all over the place.
Yeah. So I have a couple of questions and then I'm going to let you go. The first question is, how do people get in touch with you? What's the best way for people to get in touch with Larry?
All kinds of different ways. You can reach out through Selling from the Heart. So if people went to sellingfromtheheart.net, you can find out all about my mission, the vision. You can find our podcast, blog articles, all that. You can find me on LinkedIn at Larry Levine 1992. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. And I'll even, if it's okay, to throw out my email address. If anyone ever wants to email me a question, a thought, they want some inspiration, you can reach out to me at LEVINE at sellingfromtheheart.net.
Love it. And we'll make sure that we get all that in there. And listen, send me the link to that blog post we were talking about earlier too, and I'll include that as well.
No, I'd love to.
Yeah, that'd be great. We'll put that as part of the show notes as well. And the last question I'm going to ask you, and this is the question I ask every single guest as they walk out the door.
Uh-oh.
The question is, when you leave a meeting, when you get in your car and you drive away, what's the one thing you want people to think about you when you're not in the room?
That I wowed them and I showed that I cared. And I say this for a reason, is I'm glad you brought it up, is I was always critical of what would happen right? I'll be critical of this the minute we end this podcast, right? First thing that's going to go through my head, hey, what'd Ben think of me? And I'm cognizant of that. So that's the first thing. The minute I got in my car as a sales rep, hey, did I wow that person? Did I put a smile on their face? Are they still thinking about me? Think about that one, Ben. How many salespeople leave a meeting, walk into their car, ask themselves that question, and that person they just had the meeting with instantaneously went right back to what they're doing. Don't even give them a second thought.
You know what? That's a scary thing, and most sales reps never think of that way.
No.
Larry, thanks for being such an amazing guest. You have unpacked some incredible stuff. I can't wait to re-listen to this and, you know, and take some more show notes and see where this thing is, because you just added some real, real nuggets of joy to people. So thank you for doing that.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, Ben.
All right. Cheers.
This has been the Your Living Brand Live Show. I want to thank you for tuning in today. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the show at yourlivingbrand.live and share your favorite episodes with colleagues and friends. At Your Brand Marketing, we help companies engage, retain, and grow their most valuable assets, their employees. If you're tired of losing great staff and want to retain your best employees, build brand champions and leaders at any level. Contact us for a 30-minute consultation at yourbrandmarketing.com. That's www.yourbrandmarketing.com. Thank you again for listening and sharing. Tune in next week when we ask another guest, what's your story?